Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I don't want to distract, but I forgot to announce that Richard and Rosie just had their second grandchild. Yeah. John Garcia, 9 pounds, 30 ounces. Congratulations.
We also forgot to announce that we needed to announce this. We're supposed to have been doing it for weeks on end now, but Brent and Janice Riggs have resigned as missionaries out of this church. Some of you already know this. But some people have questions about it. But they've resigned as missionaries. They're now back here. That doesn't mean they've stopped serving the Lord. They just have a different view now. They're going to serve the Lord here. And we just wanted to let y'all know that. However, our church, when missionaries come back from the field, our church keeps supporting them for 3 months after they come back. So we will be receiving missionary support, and they'll still be participating in our missionary support program all the way through February. But come March 1st, that will be the last of their missionary support from this church. So we're praying for them to get jobs and everything else that they need, that they get set up, and that's been our prayer. And we are optimistic having them back here in this church helping us. We're looking forward to their place with us. But several people have asked about what their support status is, and that's where it is. We're still receiving support for them through the month of February, and then that's when it'll stop. Now, why don't everybody stand up and shake somebody's hand? You guys look just a little bit dull this morning. Shake somebody's hand. Shake their hand. Shake those visitors' hands. Nobody's shaking their hand. How you doing, big girl? How you doing? Shake their hand. How you doing? How you doing? All right, that's enough fellowship. That's enough fellowship. Let's get back to work. Find your seat. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. The Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs is divided into five sections. The first 9 chapters are Solomon's advice to his son. Chapters 10 through 24 are a collection of proverbs that they did, I guess, during the aftermath of Solomon's, or maybe during his reign. Then chapters 25 through 29 are the proverbs that they gathered together that weren't in the original book of the Proverbs. They gathered them together in the time of Hezekiah and added them to it. And then, of course, we have the 2 ending chapters, which are somewhat unknown, the words of Agur and the words of the king Lemuel. Don't know about those. They're wonderful. They're excellent. I believe the whole book is inspired by God. I believe it was put together by God the way he wanted. But that's one of the reasons why this proverb right here that I just read, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That's found twice in the book of Proverbs. Once in the first section, or once in the second section, and once in the Hezekiah section. Not sure why, but it's exactly the same proverb. It was gathered twice. And I'm assuming that it was put in the book of Proverbs twice because he wanted you to pay attention to what it had to say. Maybe God's trying to get your attention about something. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Now, you might be really good at a lot of stuff. You got people who are really good mechanics. Some people are really good with computers. Some people can figure out modern smartphones. They're good at this stuff. But let me tell you what would be really good to be good at, and that's foreseeing the evil. Get yourself a little bit of knowledge about that. Find out what evil is coming and know how to dodge it. Know how to hide yourself at the right moment. Know how to avoid certain pitfalls and not to fall into certain traps. Boy, that's really valuable. You know, it is valuable to be a good mechanic on cars, whatever, it gets valuable. But it's more valuable to avoid the evil that's coming your way. So I would say you ought to put a little effort into figuring that out. Man, how about avoiding the pitfalls in marriage? That would be really valuable. You know, you protect your marriage, that would be really, really valuable. Because there are some pitfalls in marriage, right? How about raising kids? Avoiding some pitfalls in raising kids? You can foresee some things and make some decisions early on because you have that wisdom, that prudence to foresee something bad that might happen when you're raising kids. I say that's more valuable than being able to work on cars or to be able to figure out how to turn off alerts on your smartphone. Foresee the evil. I'm going to divide this message up into 3 points. First of all, the miracle. Some things are just not foreseeable. Then I'm going to talk about the reality. The reality, some things are foreseeable. And then I want to talk about the obvious. Some things you got to be pretty stupid to miss. The simple pass on and are punished. You don't have any excuse here. Some things are obvious. So wake up. All right. Let's talk about the miracle. I just want you to know that nobody knows the future. You know, you go down here, drive down Bandera Road, and you'll see a bunch of spiritual advisors. Little signs there that say, come on in. What they're saying is, we can tell you your future. No, they can't. Go on a little bit farther into Culebra Road. Oh, there's a whole bunch more. Go down a little bit deeper on General McMullen. Oh, there's more. You think these people know the future? They don't know the future. How many of you go to a Chinese restaurant and open up that stupid little fortune cookie? I know it's not because it tastes good. The lotto numbers, yeah, well. Fortune cookies can't tell you the future. And whatever they say is nonsense. It's not even worth reading. I never open those things. My wife always opens mine. She said, well, if you don't want it, give it to me. I don't want it. I don't want to know what it says. I'm not interested. How many of you read the horoscope? What stupidity. Why would you read that? It's just junk. It's nothing. They do not know the future. Have you ever heard these people on the radio, or maybe even on television, I don't know, but they'll tell you, the price of gold is set to go through the roof. You need to buy it as soon as possible and as much as you can. You know who's making those advertisements? People who have a lot of gold and want to sell it to you. Now, if the price of gold was set to go through the roof, you think they would be trying to sell it to you? So when they say they know that the price of gold is going to go through the roof, they're lying. They don't know what's going to happen to the price of gold. They're just betting on selling it right now for a quick profit, and then you'll sell it when it's cheaper. Back to them. Ecclesiastes 10:14 says, the fool is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be. A fool is full of words. And that's what all these fools are. They're all full of words. Want to tell you all kinds of things that they think they know. They do not know. The Bible says they don't know. They do not know the future. I find an interesting argument from God over there in Isaiah 41, somewhere around the middle of the chapter. He goes through this talking about these people who have these other gods. And he says, I'm the only God. There's none else. I don't know of any other one. But then he says, but if these are gods, ask them to tell you the future. Just tell them to tell you what's going to happen. But they can't do it. You know what that tells me? God says they can't tell you the future. God says they don't know what's going to happen. God says not even the devil knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. Except God. So I want you to consider the miracle when God tells you the future.
Amen.
This ain't no small feat. There are too many variables for you to be able to tell what's going to happen with the climate 1 week away. How many times has the weatherman been wrong? They're, you know, and they might be right tomorrow. They might be able to foresee up till tomorrow, possibly even a couple of days. But when you get to a week or 2 weeks out, they just give up all sense of knowledge. They know that they don't know. They know that they don't know. But what if God were to tell you a hurricane's going to hit Houston 1 month from today, and then it happens? That ought to wake you up. If God can predict a hurricane hitting Houston, well, then that tells you something about God. Now, let me tell you, God has done this over and over and over again. These prophecies that we have in the Bible, they're there and they're very respected, but the reason why was because the prophets who wrote down these prophecies had knowledge from God. God would give them a certain prediction that was going to happen within a month or two, or something of that nature, give them a prediction, and then give them the word of God to tell these people what they were supposed to do, and when the prediction happened, they would know it was from God, and they would obey what the prophets told them to do. That's the way it worked. And it worked so well that those people knew this was the word of God. This happened all the time. Now, we don't have these kind of prophets anymore. My belief, and I believe it's backed up by Scripture, is that when the Bible became complete, that is, when the apostles finished writing what they were going to write, God took away that special apostolic knowledge, that prophetic gift, says prophecy shall fail and tongues shall cease, and that knowledge, that special revelation of God is going to pass away. It's no longer, but what you're going to be left with, you're going to be left with faith, hope, and love, and that's faith in the Word of God and hope in His promises. And love of God and love of humanity. This is what we're left with. And the Bible says that when these signs fail, when they cease to happen and when they cease to work and people reject them, He says then the word of God's going to be unto them line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Why? Because you don't need signs. You don't need some prophet to come and say, I've had a word from God. I'm going to tell you the future. Anybody who does that nowadays is likely to get you in trouble.
Right.
It gets us tired of hearing all these television preachers and they're just gurus, they're just shamans, they are charlatans. They get on television and tell you, God told me to tell you this. No, God didn't.
Right.
You ought, even as a preacher, you ought to be careful saying, God told me. You just plain might be wrong. You might have just had a bad dream. I think a lot of people are carried away by their emotions a whole lot more than God speaking to people. And I don't see why God would have any reason to speak to you directly. He might have some reason someday, I don't know. But at the moment, I can't think of why. He's given you His word.
Amen.
He gave you all the prophecies in the Bible. What else do you need to know? Do you really think you need to know tomorrow's headlines? No, you don't. If you did, you would become corrupt. You would play the lottery, wouldn't you? If you knew tomorrow's headlines. Oh, yeah, and that wouldn't be fair. Come on, testify. That would not be fair. You're thinking it's got to be fair. It's got to be fair. No, it's not fair. You covetous soul, you... I know. It is a miracle when God tells you the future. So when God reveals a vision to John the Apostle, and he writes it down in the book of Revelation, and this vision says that toward the end of the age, when the world is getting ready to end, he says these two witnesses are going to be seen by the entire world. And the whole world is going to watch their dead bodies laying on the ground. I want you to stop and think. Put yourself in the time period of John the Apostle. How could the whole world see those two dead bodies? That was an impossibility. They did not have television back in those days. But when God said that's going to happen, and they would have said, that doesn't make any sense. But it makes perfect sense to us now, doesn't it? You know what that means? God knew the future. Yeah, yeah. When Jesus says, when he's walking to the cross, and he says, sees these women weeping for him, and he says, ladies, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. If they've done this in the green tree, what's going to happen in the dry? You and your own children are going to see the destruction of Jerusalem within your lifetime. And then 40 years later, Jerusalem is destroyed. You know what that means? Jesus knew something. But how could it be known? How could it be known? That's a miracle. I'm telling you, you ought to respect this book more than you do.
Amen.
You ought to be a whole lot more interested in what it has to say than most people have. Most people don't think the book is irrelevant. I'm telling you, if God can tell you the future, you ought to pay attention to what God says. Because God knows the future. Nobody else does. Not even the devils know the future. And if the devils knew the future, they wouldn't have any reason to tell you the future. Don't believe these people. Don't believe the horoscopes. Don't believe any of those, but believe what God says, because he's proven it over and over and over again. He told you the Messiah was coming. He actually gave you the year. Read it. Look it up. Daniel's prophecies, chapter 9. He tells you what's going to happen. He tells you how many weeks of years it's going to be. And there it was. And it happened. Does anybody have an excuse for not knowing? No, they don't. God told them. And God's told you in a whole lot of other things. A lot of things are written in this book, even in the New Testament, written in this book to tell you how things are going to be. Says it all the times, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. In the last days, such and such a thing is going to happen. You ought to know what it says, because God knows the future. That's the miracle of prediction. It's the miracle of prophecy. Only God can do it, and God has done it, and there it is in the book. You ought to be studying it day and night. Meditating on it day and night. Get yourself thoroughly acquainted with this book so that you know what God wants you to know about the future. That's the miracle. Now I want to talk about the reality. Even though nobody knows the future, some things can be foreseen. Now foresight is not the same thing as prediction. Foresight is a good guess about what's coming. An educated guess about what's coming. A little bit of knowledge helps a lot. I'll give you some examples. I think it was in 1973, sometime during the summer, Eddie and me and several others of us were planning on taking a trip, going out west, seeing the Grand Canyon and stuff like that. We were high schoolers, but we were going to just go take a trip, camp out on the road, you know, and do that sort of thing. And we were sitting around the round table in my dad's living room. We were planning things out. Danny Newman was there, and we were planning things out. And Dad walks through, and he says, he was listening. He was overhearing what we were saying. He says, well, I tell you what, you all ought to plan on gasoline costing 50 cents a gallon. And he walked on through. We're around the table looking at each other and thinking, nah. I remember this very distinctly. I remember thinking, 50 cents a gallon? Is he out of his mind? Gasoline costs 30 cents a gallon. Sometimes it's 29, 28. They have gas wars. It's wonderful. Yeah. But 50 cents a gallon, that was a deal breaker. We didn't have enough money to pay 50 cents a gallon to go on this trip. And this was before the Yom Kippur War. Now what happened? He heard on the news. The news was saying this is happening, and this is happening, so there's a good chance that we're going to be hit on the energy side and gasoline's going to go up. He just got a little bit of information. A little bit of information. And you know what happened? Then the Yom Kippur War happened, and boy, did gasoline go up. And there were lines of people waiting at the gas station. And it made me think, the old man's not as dumb as he looks sometimes. It impressed me that you can see the future. It impressed me that a little bit of knowledge is useful. Now, let me ask you something. Who would know more about foreseeing the future, a 20-year-old or a 50-year-old? Obviously, a 50-year-old. Why? Had more experience. A little more age. A little more wisdom. Knows a few things. A lot more information. It just keeps bombarding you. Information comes in. You remember that back then? Yeah, I remember that. He's gone through some stuff, so the 50-year-old is more likely to be correct when trying to foresee the future. Which tells you an awful lot about our democracy. Because we've got 50 20-year-olds compared to 20 50-year-olds. And you know what that means? Most of the decisions made in this country are made by idiots.
Right.
And the politicians have to cater to the idiots. Just take a few minutes to talk to your 20-year-old somethings out there in college. They do that. They go out there and they interview these people in college. I don't know if you ever watch those videos where they go out there and say, hey, do you know what this is and what that is? And the answers they give you will scare you because you know these people are voting. It's a foolish way to run a government. Let all the 20-year-olds run it. Let all the 20-year-olds make all the decisions. But that's what's happening right here in America. And what happens is you make a lot of foolish decisions. And America has made many, many foolish decisions. And I am no way criticizing America more than other countries. Other countries are in just as bad a shape. They've got the same kinds of problems. You've got a whole lot more young people than you have old people. But old people ought to be running the show.
Amen.
They ought to be. You have to wait till the millennium for that to be implemented, though. If God gives me anything to implement it on, I'm going to implement it. I'm going to reign with Christ. I don't know if you realize that. Boy, you guys ought to be happier about that. Let me tell you something. Science will help too. A little bit of experimenting, a little bit of statistical analyzing, that helps. It helps. Now, I agree. Nobody knows. When somebody comes up and tells you that in 12 years, it's going to be too late, the world is going to end. Because, you know, the earth is getting warmer. When they say that, you can just mark it down. They do not know the future.
That's right.
And you ought to be careful being so pessimistic about stuff you can't control. Don't live in a pessimistic world just because things are out of your control. Don't be afraid of everything that's coming, because we do have a God that is over everything, and he's a benevolent God, and he has been taking care, and he has foreseen an awful lot of things, and he's already told us the world is not going to end by global warming. It's going to end in judgment. So, there's a lot of reasons not to be afraid of the alarmists. But when you have a lot of scientists looking at a lot of data, and they come up with some knowledge, they'll say, well, the earth is warming. That means something. Well, what does it mean? Well, the oceans might rise. They say within 100 years, we might get 6 inches of rise in the ocean. Now, six inches of rise is not enough to make you fall apart. Don't fall apart. But if that's going to happen, maybe you could use a little bit of that information. It might be useful. Maybe hurricanes will be a little bit worse. I don't know. I personally am not afraid of it. I think fossil fuels are the best thing that happened to the economy. I mean, it is tremendously. They say it just, by the way, I don't know if you realize it, in like 2017, the world hit a threshold. More than half the people in the world reached the middle class.
Wow.
50% of the world is middle class. Now, that mainly was because India and China began to really boom. And a lot of those people began to have disposable income. And so it pushed the world's income level at 50% in the middle class. That's worldwide. That is tremendous wealth in the world right now. Tremendous. Think about it, folks. You know why? Because of fossil fuels. That's why. So, and I know I'm in Texas, and so I got to say something good about fossil fuels. But you take it with a grain of salt. That's fine. I'm just telling you, there is some value in knowing something. There's some value in science. There's some value in education. There's some value in studying out a problem and figuring it out. You can foresee some things if you do a little bit of research. You can figure out some things if you study it. And you shouldn't just discount what the psychiatrists say.
Right.
It's true they've got a lot of things wrong, and I can point out a lot of mistakes that they've made, but not everything they say is valueless. Everybody's got some expertise, and everybody's stupid depending upon the subject. Right? All of us, we lack knowledge in some things, but we all have knowledge in other things. And the reason why, when you go to a mechanic and you say, I've got this problem, and it doesn't take him years to figure out what your problem in your car is. He usually can just right on the top of his head say, that's the problem right there. We'll fix that. Why? All that experience, all that study, all those little apparatuses that diagnose your car. He's got some knowledge. Don't discount knowledge. Some things are foreseeable. You get a little bit of information. Just knowing that gas prices are going to go up make you a little wiser. Who wants to get out to the Grand Canyon and run out of gas? It could have happened. It's really valuable. But let me tell you something. The Bible is the most valuable thing for you to know the future. The ability to foresee some things, the Bible helps you. Why? Because it's accumulated with them and wisdom informed by God himself throughout all of these centuries. Wisdom that comes from God and all these centuries accumulated, and there it is for you to read. You read the book of Proverbs and it tells you this is for your instruction. This is so that you can choose right. This is so you would avoid the pitfalls. This is so that you don't make a mess of your life. That's what it says right there in the book of Proverbs. Read it and find out the wisdom of God to keep you from making a mess of your life. It's not going to hurt you to become smarter about something. It ain't going to hurt you to study up on a subject so that you know what you're talking about. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, we got this really great idea. Let's do this. And you say, well, let me study it. And you study it out. It's not going to be bad for you to research people. Research what they're wanting you to invest in. They say right now, one of the biggest problems among businesses right now, that workers are in such demand that a huge problem, just read it in an article this morning, a huge demand right now for certain skills. And that now their huge problem is falsified resumes. Who, can you believe somebody would lie on a resume? I thought if it was written down, it had to be true. Right? No. Yeah, they lie on resumes. They say they had a job at such and such a place, and they didn't. It's a big problem. It doesn't hurt you to do a little research. Look into it. In fact, I would say be patient, take your time, and research it. Just Google it. Sometimes that helps. And sometimes you got to do more than that. Ask some questions. I remember when we were in Morelia, and John would all, we won this fellow to the Lord in Morelia. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into it, but it's an amazing thing how he got won to the Lord. He used to work at the Nissan dealership. And John, he had a Toyota, and so he would go to the Nissan dealership to get it worked on. And this kid in the Nissan dealership was working with John all this time, you know, doing this stuff like that. And later on, he got saved from a completely different angle. He got saved, was in the church, and he told me something about John. He said, we could never cheat John. It was a normal practice for them, you know, to charge more, to, you know, fix something that didn't need to be fixed. It was normal practice for them to sell a part and then not even put the new part on. They had their ways of cheating people, even in the dealership. But he said we could never do it with John because he would ask too many questions. He would say, oh yeah, what about this and what about that? And they just never bothered trying to cheat John. He asked too many questions. Maybe you ought to ask him more questions. Just ask a few questions and see what you might be able to find out. It's amazing how much, this is a reality. You can foresee some things and you can avoid the evil. You can avoid the pitfall. You don't have to fall like you used to when you were young. You can be a little bit wiser and a little bit older and get down where you make fewer mistakes. And that's really valuable. It takes a little bit of diligence, a little bit of effort. Look things up. Find some things out. Be a little more skeptical. Ask some questions. Research it. Do some studies. And you'd be amazed how much you can find out. Don't discount all the experts in the world. I know that a lot of Christians become somewhat anti-intellectual because we disagree with a bunch of these experts. And you need to disagree with some of the experts. Don't believe everything the university professor tells you. They do lie a lot. They do. But that doesn't mean that these experts have no expertise. They know a lot of stuff. There's a reason to do your research because there's a way to figure out the truth. Don't give up on it. But now I want to get to the obvious. There's some foresight that ought to be obvious. Something that if you miss, it's just your stupidity. And I'm not trying to be mean to you, but you're missing some stuff, right? And it's just because you are overlooking the glaringly obvious. If it had been a rattlesnake, it would have bit you. It was there. It was there. It was out in the open. Let me give you a point. Say about consequences. Take something like lying. When you're a little kid, you start experimenting with lying. The Bible says they come out of the womb lying. I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. Psalm 58. They come out of the womb speaking lies. That's just the way we are. So kids, they look all innocent. No, they're not innocent. They're liars. And they start experimenting with lies to see what they can get away with. I can tell you stories about my kids and my grandkids and the lies they tell. And you know, it's so cute and it's so funny. But after a while, they start noticing that when they lie, it doesn't work so well. You know, because you can lie once and get away with it. And it seems like it worked out. But if you do get away with it, then that emboldens you and you lie again. And you might even get away with it a second time. But then after a while, you're going to get caught. If you keep lying, sooner or later, you're going to be found out. He's lying. And then nobody trusts you anymore. And then your friends don't like you anymore. You like people who lie to you? You like people who are always pretending? Always putting on a show? Always being someone they're not? No, you just start avoiding them. You stop answering their phone calls. Answer my phone calls once in a while, will you? No, seriously, you begin to realize that lying doesn't work. And so you start, it's that principle of natural selection, you know, you start realizing, I gotta start telling the truth so that I can have regular social interaction. People will start believing me. I can have real friends. My parents will start trusting me. That sort of thing. Kids learn that so that by the time they're grown up and older, they already know there's a real limit to how much you can lie and get away with. Yeah, well, what about robbing banks? If you get away with robbing a bank one time, it'll embolden you. You'll think we'll do it again. And you've seen the stories about these bank robbers that do a really good job, but they just keep going, and sooner or later, bang, they get caught. Yeah, if they didn't get caught, there wouldn't be a story about them. We wouldn't know. But they get caught, and the reason why? Because it's obvious, you can't just keep on getting away with stuff. Robbing banks has consequences, and something bad's going to happen to you. Same with lying. Well, what about pornography? Are there any consequences to pornography?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be valuable to figure that out before the bad happens to you? Yeah, it destroys you from the inside out. It makes you dissatisfied with your actual wife. There's all kinds of problems with pornography. It actually makes you more violent. Hey, do the studies. Go look it up. Research it. But if you don't know that pornography is not going to be good for you, you're stupid.
Amen.
What about adultery? Yeah, you got that cute guy at the work office, you know, you think, oh yeah, a little bit of, you know, messing around, you say a little flirtatious, but it goes to it. Let's say you do it one time and you get away with it. What happens? You get bold and you do it again. And then you do it again. Sooner or later, you get caught. Can you foresee what would happen if you get caught in adultery? Can you look forward a little bit and see how that would handle your marriage? What would happen in your marriage if you get caught in adultery? Can you not foresee the future? I'll bet you got some good guesses.
Yeah.
You might ruin your family.
Yeah.
You might make it so nobody ever trusts you again. Even if you didn't actually get divorced and have the whole thing to blow up in your face, You would always then have that big wall between you and your wife or your husband. Always there! Can't you foresee the consequences of adultery? How about you, young people? Can you foresee the consequences of fornication? Yeah, I just saw it in the news. Hunter Biden, the son of former vice president, went with a stripper, went and had sex with her, had a baby by her, and now he's being sued. Now they're getting his income, and he's going to have to pay a certain amount of his income, a percentage of his income, to this child for however long it takes. You telling me he couldn't have foreseen that? Fornication, that's one of the most impacting things you can do in your life. It's the deadliest sin of all. More people die from fornication than all other sins. You don't believe me? Research it. Millions, hundreds of millions die every year from abortions, every year from venereal diseases, every year. And that's not counting how many, they say in Mexico that crimes of passion, that is retaliation for adultery, accounts for a large percentage of the number of murders they have. And they have 6 times the murder rate that we have in the United States. Little country right here south of us. And why? Because they're passionate. They're jealous. And when there's adultery, they don't just put up with it. They go and kill the guy. A lot of death. That's why it says over there, you see that strange woman didn't know that her paths lead to the doorway of hell. It's right there. It's death. In her ways are the ways of death. That's her. That's what it is. It's fornication. Can't you foresee that? Listen, if you can't foresee that and avoid that evil, you're stupid. Amen. I'm sorry. The Bible says you're simple. In modern Texan, that's stupid. What about time? Can you foresee what time is going to do to you? I'm amazed when I see these old people, 80 years old, talking about the future. That surprises me. I heard Jerry Jones talking about the future of the Cowboys. He's 80-something. Now, he might live to be 100, but sooner or later, you need to stop talking about your future. You need to start thinking about the end game. I think 80 is a good time to start. Or before that.
Amen.
Your life is going to end. Life has a set of trajectory, and you go, you have youth and time to learn and to spread your wings, and then you have your prime when you have a time to accomplish and get some stuff done, and then you start reaching the time when you gotta start thinking about retirement, cause the body doesn't work like it used to. And then what? You're in your old age, your health is shot, you need help for everything. And like Marty said, everything hurts. Everything you do hurts. It's all painful. And then what? Can you not foresee how your life has these times? I remember seeing a guy, he was a scientist, and he decided when he became an adult, he was going to spend 15 years studying his doctor of philosophy. He was a PhD in something. He was going to be studying this one subject. And then the next 15 years, he was going to spend doing the work of that field. I forget what it was. And then the third 15 years of his 45-year adult life, he was going to spend writing about it. And he did exactly that. 15, 15, and 15! You know why that's wise? Because everybody knows that's how life is. You know it. But you know how many people completely overlook that way of thinking? They live as if there is no end. They make decisions based on the idea, the philosophy that it's just going to keep on going like it is. Especially young people are so foolish and don't realize this is your time. This is your opportunity. Don't blow it. Don't throw it away. How about with your kids? I remember my dad told me when I was young and I had little kids, he says, watch out, he says, they grow up really fast. Spend some time with them. And so I did. I was very, very conscientious about that. We took every Saturday, we did something together as a family. Every Saturday, it was their day. And we did a whole lot of stuff together. And I think they remember that well. They think of those as good times. I didn't lose it, but I remember seeing some of my own pastors in Mexico. And I would talk to them and say, you're so busy. What about your kids? He says, no, but I just got to get right around this corner. When I get around this corner, I'll have some more time for my wife and my children. No, you don't realize when you turn around that corner, there's another corner.
Right.
You got to do it now.
Right.
You can see that, right? Can't you? Can't you see that children grow up fast? I remember you, Lily. I remember you were that small. You were small. You were cute. I love you, girl. They grow up fast, don't they?
Amen.
Isn't it worth foreseeing that? Spending your time with them while they're there?
Amen.
Oh yeah, man, that's worthwhile. That's valuable. It's much better than getting a real big estate. That's much more valuable. Spend some time with your kids. You don't have as much in savings, but you had time with your kids. This is just simple wisdom. You miss this, you're the stupid one. You miss out on this kind of thinking. You don't foresee the evil. You don't foresee what can happen. You don't see something that's that obvious. Life does not stand still. It's a flowing river and it moves. And you can't help but move with it.
Amen.
You're going. You're getting old. You need to start thinking about the future. It's about to end. What are you going to do? You're young. You better start thinking about the future. Foresee the evil. Hide yourself.
Amen.
Your health. What about death? Does anybody in here have any doubts about the fact that you're going to die? You can foresee the future, right? We used to give the gospel by saying, where are you going to be when you die? I bet you a bunch of you in here have used that same opening. What's going to happen to you after you die? And some people think that that's, you know, real brash and real, you know, almost intrusive. And some people get offended when you ask that. But the truth is, that's a really important question. What happens after you die? It's amazing to me that people don't even think about it. They don't even think, they don't want to think about it. They avoid thinking about it. They do anything they can not to think about the day of their death. But that's the one thing you know is going to happen. You know you're going to die. It doesn't even require faith. You don't have to be a believer to know you're going to die. Well, what does that make your life worthwhile? What does it mean about life? You know what? Death makes a whole lot of your accomplishments meaningless. Death has a way of just making everything fall apart, making it all disintegrate into nothing. Just come and look at my garage. I got stuff stacked up in my garage I might need someday. And then I have a need for that, and then I think I can use that for this, and I think, well, but then if I do, I won't have it. And I got to thinking, well, what's going to happen to this stuff when I die?
Yeah.
I can just see my boys looking at this saying, why did he keep that? They're going to haul it off in a dump truck.
Right.
You too.
Amen.
They're going to haul it off in a dump truck. A whole lot of the stuff you're worried about is meaningless.
That's right.
Because you're going to die. What is meaningful then if you're going to die? Only what you do for God.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's meaningful. Everything else falls apart.
Right.
How many of you here can name all 16 of your great-grandparents? Great-grandparents. Three generations. And you can't name them.
Right.
You ought to think about that. In three generations, you're forgotten. You're a nobody. In three generations, even to the ones that loved you the most.
Yeah.
Man, that's pretty consequential, I would say. Now, here's another thing that you ought to know is coming. And if you don't know it's coming, you can't foresee it clearly, you're stupid. That's judgment. You know it's coming. Even atheists know that morality exists. And they don't really have a way of explaining it. But they know it exists. And they know that morality has to do with your duty and their rights. The duty of yourself, that's a debt, and the rights of others. Nobody applies morality to snails. You step on a snail, you don't get arrested for murder. Right? It's not, you don't even apply morality to that. It's only other humans. Only other people. And perhaps people, animals that are very similar to humans in that they can feel pain and stuff. There's some morality about how you treat them perhaps. But it has to do with their rights, because if they, morality has to do with their rights, they have rights. You can't treat people any old way you want. But atheists have no explanation for why that's true. They know it's true. They admit it's true. There are entire websites dedicated to explaining how moral atheists are. Till they get into political power, then they're no longer moral. Kill anybody and anything for any reason. That's how atheists are. But right now, you get an atheist who doesn't have the political power, he will point out how moral he is, even though he doesn't have any way to prove that it actually exists. But he knows it exists. Now, you're not an atheist. I assume there's no atheists in here. You know judgment's coming. You know that the reason why we can't treat other humans any old way that we want is because we have a obligation to God. They're made in the image of God, and they have just as much right to live as we do, and our rights come from God. And that's the reason why morality exists. But there can't be any morality unless there's a judgment. Because justice doesn't happen in this life. The bad guys are getting away with stuff in this life. But God makes a promise that it's going to all be fixed. It's all going to be taken care of after this life is over. That's called the judgment. It makes perfect sense, and it lands in our conscience softly. We know it's true. The moment you hear it, your own heart is telling you, that's true. We have to be judged after we die. Can you tell that? Can't you not foresee the evil that happens in judgment? Can you not foresee that God is going to do something about people who do wrong? You think God doesn't care what Hitler did? Oh, you know he cares. You know that God, it matters to God what Hitler did. You know it matters to God what Stalin did. You know that it matters to God what Mao Zedong did. You know that those killing fields in Cambodia, God noticed and he's going to do something about it.
Amen.
They didn't get away with it. And those people that right now are oppressing and doing wrong and harming and killing, God hasn't overlooked it. How many times does he says, I see this generation, and shedding of blood is so common among them. He says he sees it. What do you think? God's not noticing the abortion clinics in this country? You don't think he notices? You think he just doesn't care? Don't you have any foresight at all to realize God can't let that go? God can't let it go! You think it matters to God how you act sexually?
Amen.
He says it does. And your own conscience tells you it does.
Amen.
You can't just act any old way sexually that you want. You can't just reorient yourself and make yourself something else. You're not allowed to do that. God makes certain points. He says, I made you and you're the way I want you.
Amen.
And that means you got to submit to God. Or did your mama teach you never have to submit to anybody? Is that what happened to you when you were a little bitty? Your parents said, no, you don't have to obey them. You don't have to obey your teacher. You don't have to obey the policeman. You don't have to obey the laws. We do anything we want in this house. Is that how they taught you? So now that you're grown, you don't think God has a right to tell you how to live? Whatever you're supposed to do? Oh no, God didn't give up that right. You just got yourself fooled. And then you become the simple one that just passes on and gets punished. Why? Because you can't foresee that God cares what you do.
Amen.
God cares what you do.
Amen.
What do you think this business mentality that we have now in our capitalistic countries? You think this business morality, this business mentality is moral? It's coming to a head, guys. I don't know if you guys realize it, but it's happening right now. You've got people, you've got the government of China forcing our companies to do what goes against their consciences. And because they love money, they're going to obey China. They're doing that right now. And I'm not talking about one or two little exceptions. All across the board. Google capitulated. They used to have the motto, do no evil. Unless it's President Xi, he can do evil. Because they want the market, they will sell their souls for money. That's covetousness. You think God doesn't care? You think God doesn't care what President Xi does to Christians? He's just overlooking it? No, God's not overlooking that. God's paying attention. And you make no difference? You make no, it doesn't matter to you? Really? Wow. You say, well, preacher, what are we supposed to do? I don't know, but you better do something. You better stand up for something. Somebody's got to stand up for something because God's noticing. Our government's made horrible decisions based on the love of money. Horrible decisions for the love of money. Chick-fil-A just dumped the Salvation Army. Why? The love of money. There's no other way to write that down. There's no other way to calculate that. They ditched the Salvation Army for the love of money. They wanted to open up some franchises in Ontario. Well, you do whatever you want. Just know this, that God will hold you accountable. You think that God doesn't notice when you disregard Him in your life? Like, He can hear your insolence, your lack of gratitude, your complete disregarding of Him and His interests throughout your life. And God just says, oh, well, he's just an innocent child. I'm going to overlook that. He's a very patient person. Very long-suffering. But He knows when He's being disrespected. He knows when you use His name in vain. And He notices it. And yeah, it bothers Him. Man. You know what He tells you to do if you're not stupid? Hide yourself.
Amen.
Did you know you can hide yourself from the evil that's coming? You can't fix it, folks. You can't stop the evil from coming. You can only take care of yourself. You can hide yourself. And if judgment is coming, God got the way of hiding from that judgment.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the debt of our sins and allows us to come before Him acceptably. We are acceptable to Him through Jesus Christ, and we hide ourselves in what Jesus Christ has done. And then all that evil that's coming will be shaded from it. Will be covered from it. God says, don't even worry about it. I won't let it touch you. It won't touch not a hair on your head. Because God says, they're mine. And they've hidden themselves in me. They've covered themselves by me. And I'm going to take care of them right through the judgment. Judgment is coming. But if you're not simple, you can hide yourself. You hide yourself in Jesus Christ. You give your life to Him. You say, God, I belong to You. You make it real. Don't be half-hearted with Jesus.
Amen.
You can't be half-hearted with Him. Take up your cross. Make it real. Give your life to Him completely. And you're hidden from all the evil that's coming. Because you got to be stupid not to fear what's coming. God is coming. He's said it many times and He's proved His word many times. And He's coming and he's gonna give retribution to those that have disregarded him. And you can hide yourself from that through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing number 438.